Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love. Seek treatment if you just can't take a hit. Well, seek treatment
with Kat
and Pat.
Hey, it's Kat
and it's Patrick, and this is
Seek Treatment, a podcast about bees,
s's, effing,
d'ing,
and l,
and darling. Let me tell you this much.
Yeah, tell me something.
There's something going on with the moon. I know that much because, first of all, it rained for a million days straight in New York City when my family was here. And so everyone was in a pissy mood. Brian was, quote unquote, sick the whole time. Guess what, Brian? I said, I've been sick for going on 2.5 weeks. So you joined my family for he missed 4 days of back to back family activities. Must be nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it was a nice trip. I'm just like, I'm in a place where I don't know if I'll ever be at peace. Sorry. Go ahead.
Totally. I've been feeling a little bit unsettled. Now we're in a strike. I pulled my back at the gym.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
It's the worst. I was doing a front squat. And okay, first of all, there's a couple of characters involved in the story. So the main trainer's name was Alex. He's like kind of hot, straight, nice.
I am writing the cast list on playbill.com for when we cast the play. So go ahead.
So then, okay, first of all, we're doing something. Alex gave me some, usually at the gym that I've been going to, like, they're really good about.
Can I request something? Yeah. I request something? So for the cast, I'm going to turn the volume so I can hear you better. For the lineup, can I just have the age and character breakdown for each character as we go?
Yeah. Okay, so Alex, I would say we're looking for mid to late 30s.
Okay.
Male, straight seeming. We're looking for someone straight seeming.
Mm-hmm.
And happy, exuberant, large ass, and passionate about fitness. Now,
cool.
Me, it's kind of like Princey's Pat Regan type. And then behind me, there's this person who's gay seeming,
mm-hmm.
Fine body, or whatever, but and like kind of like just LA gay, whatever, but not the kind you think. Like the gym's in like Silver Lake, so do what you will with that. And then we're actually going to be looking for, we're casting a woman in her 70s, straight, gray hair, ponytail. And that's for the character called Thelma, late 70s.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah, a 70s Thelma, gray hair, in athleisure. Okay,
cool.
So first of all, like Thelma, I see over like just by yonder. She comes in more in the second act. This is actually a two act. And so then the guy, I'm not gonna say his name, but so anyways, I'm doing squats, and I like typically at this gym, like the instructors are very good about giving you like feedback about your form and stuff, which I especially like on leg day, because leg day it feels like you're always doing everything wrong. And like they feel so important because it's what's crucial to having a
connected
ass.
To the butt.
It's connected to your ass story.
At the end of the day, whether you're gay or straight, you can agree that your legs are closer to your butt than your arms.
Totally. Your arms are like your arms have never met your butt. They don't know what
your hands are close, but not naturally.
No, they're not close in a way where they don't work in the same. Maybe they work in the same office, but they don't like.
If your hands, if working on your hands could make your butt strong, I'd have the most amazing butt in the world.
Totally.
Okay.
And so I'm doing French tests. I kind of feel like I'm doing something wrong. And then the guy, I'm going to call him Derek for this. He goes, he's like, hey, is this your first time at the gym?
No.
And I go, I've been coming here a few times.
I would in that instant be coffined. So that's when you get put in your coffin by yourself.
So then he goes, yeah, when I first started coming here, I didn't know what I was doing. You're so great. I'm such a control freak. There's so many things I want to tell you.
No. This is you bringing in chaotic energy.
No, this is real. Let me get through this whole monologue because it's like crazy.
I'm sorry.
So he goes, it's your first time at the gym? And it's your first time here? And I was like, no, I've been coming a few days. And he's like, okay, yeah, when I first came here, I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm like a control freak, like codependent. Like, there's so many things I want to tell you, but I'm going to let Alex do it. And I was like, okay. And he was like, but there's so much I want to say right now, but I can't, I'm not going to say it. And I was like, okay, fuck off. And anyways, I was like, okay, well, amazing meeting you.
Oh my god.
Alex was so busy with other people that I did feel like I was doing something wrong, but I didn't know what. And front squats are so tricky. And then I'm lifting and I feel what can only be described as a movement inside my back. And I freak out because I'm like, oh my god, like I don't want to have like a slip disc or something. And it was in pain. So whatever, I called Alex over and then he just had me foam roll for the rest of the time. Then the next day I was going in for a chest, Teddy's day, which is like so fun because it's when you get to just be yourself and like, you know, it's like impossible to do it wrong and there's no fear. There's just passion when it comes to chest day. And so then Thelma was there. So I saw Thelma and she was like, how are you doing? I was like, I'm good. I kind of hurt myself yesterday. She was like, yeah. Yeah, I was keeping an eye on you. You were definitely doing too much weight. You're definitely doing too much weight. She's like, don't do weight yet. Just get the form down. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to spend like time on ass day, like not contributing to my ass. Like, I was like, yeah, sure. But then I could tell she was like wanting to get involved. And my friend was there with me this day, but he wasn't there with me the first day. So then she was like getting so involved and she was like, yeah, it was doing in front squats. I could tell you were doing too much weight. You're doing too much weight.
No.
I was like, all right, whatever, Thelma. And then this other trainer, I forgot this is a new trainer then today, Noah was there. And I was like, oh, hi, Noah. Like, and I just wanted to say like, oh, like my back's hurting. So there's anything that's like back related, I might sit it out. And so Thelma then comes up in and gets involved. And so now it's me, my friend, and Thelma, and Noah, the trainer. And Thelma's like, yeah, he's hurting you. He was doing too much yesterday. He's doing, you know, too much my front squats.
Wait, can I have a question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe I missed this, but is this a class or is this just you at the gym calling it leg day?
No. This is like the gym I've been going to, they do like classes each day. And it's kind of like Barry's.
What are you not saying?
What do you mean?
Is it like berries or what are you not calling it?
It's not like
it's a gym where there's a class always.
It's a gym, but there's classes every day and the classes are like.
Everyone in the gym has to be in the class. Can you be in the gym without? Okay.
You can, but like.
What's the class called? No offense.
It's like called Build or something.
Okay.
And so, but like berries, like all the classes on Monday are legs, all the classes on Tuesdays are chest, whatever. So.
Okay. I'm done. Thank you.
So, and there's different trainers. And so like I had previously, did I ever tell a story how like the previous leg day I'd gone at a later time and like there was a trainer who was a woman and I knew the second I heard her playlist that we were the exact same age.
Yeah, pop punk. She said she got into it later in life.
Yeah. And we're gonna like let her have that.
One of the main characters in the Seek Treatment movie, which will be coming to theaters in 80-45, is a woman who claims who lies to you is that she got into pump punk later in life when we know she got into it at the same time as us, normal time.
Who was born the same day, same time as me. We have the exact same
chart. Switched at birth.
Based on which pop punk song she's playing.
Oh my God, our guest has entered the chat. I'm freaking out.
Oh yeah, let's bring her in. So
how does the story end? No offense.
The story just ends that, like, basically
everyone thinks they own your body in
everyone,
that gym.
Basically, everyone was thinking in the gym that they owned my body.
It's not right.
So I ultimately was just like, Thelma, I felt like it was getting too much with Thelma, and yeah. I kind of just was like, okay, it's fine. I kind of like shut it down. I just shut it down.
Boundaries.
And then I ended up having a fine day at the gym and didn't communicate too much with Thelma after that.
Well, enough of that. I'd be terrified to go to your gym. That's all I'm going to say about that, because it's time for our guest and we're so excited.
Really excited. One of my absolute favorites. Please welcome to the pod.
Open your ears for Mariah Smith.
Mariah Smith.
Hello. How are you?
Mariah, it's so nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you from Pat. My name's Catherine.
Oh my God. Hi, I'm Mariah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I've also heard things about you too. Sorry. I'm making sure that I'm getting this all, you know, recorded from my files.
It's really hard, but you're going to need to submit this quick time when you do your taxes. So definitely make sure it's recorded.
You know, honestly, this is the biggest receipt. So
how are you? I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Now, where are you, Pat? Are you still in LA?
I'm still in LA. I'm even though I've guests have said in the past that my background is quintessential New York.
It's like the Friends apartment.
I'm seeing pipes.
Yeah.
Totally. This is the place we were telling you about when we had that dinner. That was like where my friend was like, it's not great. You know what I mean?
I kind of feel like your friend. We're all laughing. We're laughing a lot, Pat. If I had to go to LA, if they finally made me go to LA and that was the that was the background I got, I'd be like, this is not why you I need a palm tree in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Need brick in LA.
Mm-mm.
No. I mean it's like it's Friends, but it's also like How I Met Your Mother. I'm kind of like Ted Mosby.
Can you guys tell I'm on the floor or not?
I can.
Okay. I did a voiceover thing this morning and I was like, no way they can tell I'm on the floor. And it's like, okay, yes, they can. I guess this is
Your head is the height of the bed. Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, so I thought it was an optical illusion.
No.
I'm not good at spatial reasoning. I'll always remember when I was working in a running retail store and my manager was like, looked at me, like just kind of studied me and said, how's your spatial reasoning? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I've never thought about it. And she was like, okay. And then she wanted me to break down these boxes. And I was like, I'm sure it's good enough to break down boxes, but my spatial reasoning actually left some to be desired in terms of what's required to break down kind of a cardboard box.
I will say, I feel like you would be, there was a TikToker I saw who was actually concerned and confused that people thought she was TikToking from the floor of her closet, and she actually had to go on record and say she was in a chair.
That's what I'll be doing later in this podcast.
Yeah,
I'll be zooming down. So now, how did your two beautiful paths cross in Los Angeles?
Pat's friend.
Oh, perfect. I was hoping. You know, Mariah, I was hoping you'd say that. Wow. And how are you from LA? What's your
No, journey? I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, that lovely place. I lived in New York for about 10 years, moved to LA a few years ago. This makes me sound older than I am. I'm just quite young.
No, you're looking very young.
Yeah.
Mariah's on the record younger than me.
Yes. So, you know.
Wow.
So that's pretty. We're talking about pretty young.
Look at me, Pat. Doesn't take much these days. Oh my God. You know, when we started this, Mariah, I swear to God, he used to be so young. Me too.
When we started this, I was in the twilight of my 20s.
That's beautiful. The twilight.
Yeah. Couldn't pay me to go back. Wait, no, Mariah.
I think we should just jump in, because on this pod, we basically just ask one question of all our guests, if I may be so bold. Basically, we just ask, who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be?
Oh, I got chills.
Yes, let it wash over you. Take your time.
Let the rain
fall
down. I mean,
you should have had me on here with my therapist.
She is trying to click in.
She is. I mean, she's in the waiting room.
Yeah, just let her. Okay, let me know.
She's probably like, Mariah, do not speak. I'm at a loss. Who was I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you're growing up, like who is the girl who sits before us when she was in high school?
Yeah.
What was high school delinquent. Like?
Really?
How so?
You know, I famously ran sort of an undercover brothel. I barely graduated from high school. It's shocking. It's shocking. I'll tell Pat's jaws on the floor.
Running a brothel.
I need to hear everything about the broth.
Because I realized, I think it was about sophomore year, after a homecoming dance, I want to say, or our Peppers dance, which was basically Sadie Hawkins, we, instead of going to my best friend's basement, like we typically did to get our drink on, we were like, let's get a hotel room. Let's go to the Residence Inn.
So Laguna Beach, premiere season one, episode
but
one.
Guess what we had on over Laguna Beach? We got a penthouse. We got the, we got a two floor townhouse that was functional.
Oh my God.
It did have a door that opened directly to the outside, but what can you expect from a Residence Inn? I had my cousins put down their credit card. They had just turned 18. I paid them cash. And I realized when people were starting to find out what was happening, the first part of the scam was we had gotten alcohol. I would get alcohol from a local, from this liquor store that was actually ran by some radio DJ.
And oh my God. And now you're the radio DJ selling, yeah. and you're selling liquor to kids.
Basically. On the record.
But I basically said, I was like, sir, if you stop serving us alcohol, I will report you. So anyway, we had alcohol.
Oh my God. That's so Machiavellian.
I charged people $20 at the door at first just to come in and enjoy the hotel and alcohol.
Yeah. You're a genius.
But I, you know, came out of a room and I noticed that everyone was having sex, and they were having sex in the bathtub. They were having sex on tables. They were having sex on pull-up couches.
Oh my God.
And I said, yeah.
Sorry. Pat's
like, that was me on the couch.
when they're having sex, are they like in the same space as each other?
A little bit. There was a living room, a bedroom downstairs, a bedroom upstairs, two bathrooms, and a kitchen.
I want to move into this residence and townhouse.
I know it had more square footage than I've seen.
Nicer than my shitty
life.
Apartment that you're seeing right now. Wait, were you having sex?
I was not at the time because I was, I don't know what I was actually doing. I was really running the door.
You were at work. Yeah, you didn't have to
I was working. Fucking all business. Because I was trying to turn a profit.
Of course.
Don't shit where you eat.
Exactly, honey. I'm not trying to get mixed into the pleasure of the business.
Of course.
So I realized, if I sort of add this to the marketing process, people now have a safe and wonderful place to come and have sex, have drinks, and we don't have to worry about going to someone's house afterwards. But we were all stupid. I also thought you couldn't get drunk while you were sitting down, so
no
designated driver was always
is that there with like you can get pregnant and not like it's like when you're in high school, like these are things I know to be true. You cannot get pregnant in a hot tub and you cannot get drunk sitting down.
Exactly. So when we would pregame before dances, the designated driver would not drink at the house. They would drink while driving to the dance.
Oh, perfect.
Because they were sitting down.
Because they were sitting down.
Shut the fuck up.
But then you would be peak drunkenness by the time you arrived at the dance.
I have to say, I do need like a YA adaptation of the club you started.
Well,
I need the show.
Should the strike ever stop?
That's why I'm striking, because I haven't seen your show on TV yet. I'm actually not a member of the.
She's pre WGA. She's pre WGA.
I'm pre. They never asked me. They never asked me once.
No.
But I stand in solidarity with my creative, my young creative friends.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Those of us who are out there on the picket line, we really love it.
And yeah. Love support. Wait. So
also,
was this
how did it the picket line yesterday?
Pat, where were you? Were you doing leg day?
Yeah.
No, I'm going today.
Oh yeah, awesome. Totally.
Where do you go? Where are you going?
I'm going to Disney.
I'm going to Netflix, I think.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Cute. back to business, which is how did it get busted? Your situation.
Did.
No way.
I never did. Yeah.
How often did
she graduated
you
a multimillionaire.
I did it for a few years. Yeah. So almost every dance and then some extracurricular parties. Yeah.
Would you call it something? Like, did it have a name?
No, just come through.
Wow.
It started.
If you name it, then it's more, you get more. I felt like that was a little bit too.
Totally.
You don't want to.
It's like
really
posting
like,
about you on the pick line.
Yeah. It's like posting about you might as well be posting about you having a brothel. So I just wanted to keep it, you know, word of mouth.
Cool.
And, you know, as I'm so young, that was really, we did have cell phones and all that stuff and social media. So I wanted to keep it off there.
So young, you had AirPods.
I want to make it marketable. There you go. So young, I had AirPod Maxes.
Do you like those? What do we think?
I love them. The people around me hate them.
Cool.
Because they say they do not cancel noise and that they can hear everything.
A ringing endorsement.
I can't, like, seem to have AirPods for more than a couple weeks. I think my personal record of like not knowing where my AirPods are is like 2 weeks, and I like lose them and just have the case, or I lose the case and just have them. And
you know, something that happened to me recently is I have two pairs of AirPods in the case, but the only one I use I noticed for the past 3 or 4 weeks that one had been on the floor in front of my dishwasher, and every day I saw it I was like, I'll get that later. My cleaning woman did in fact come last weekend, and I do not know where that AirPod is. So wow. I'm not saying she stole it, absolutely not. I'm just saying she probably threw it away.
Oh my god. No wait, that is traumatic.
Yeah, but that is on me in part, not fully.
But it's so fully. Relatable. It's like when you avoid doing the little thing and then you get hurt in a bigger way than you thought in possible.
I think there's a metaphor and a moral to the story where it's like whatever the AirPod by your dishwasher is in your life right now, pick it up today.
Pick it up.
No, that is like really good. It's getting to my heart. Like, I don't want to do that.
Wait, okay.
Now I gotta find every emotional AirPod. Oh god.
Tell other people you love them, pick up the AirPod by the dishwasher.
My emotional AirPod is not too much of a metaphor because I just have to pick up a prescription that I've like been every day. They text me like, I live, I'm not kidding, 4 minute walk from this pharmacy, but I was like, I just can't.
Yeah. CVS, like when the process of like when they're preparing your prescription, when it's ready, when you're coming to pick it up, when you have picked up, they keep in such close contact with you, the CVS bot, that it's kind of like CVS bot, like, don't double text me. Don't triple text me. Like
aren't you embarrassed? Like, I'm not texting you back and you're seeing, this is one-sided.
It's CVS, I'm going to go ahead and say that the CVS text bot can't pick up social cues. And that is why AI should never be writing our show. Because the CVS text bot can't pick up
our
social cues.
Our show, The Brothel.
It sounds like even just having like a Sadie Hawkins themed dance of it all is giving Saved by the Bell. Or did you, it seems like you had a real high school experience.
I think I did, but you know, I went to a smaller high school, but we had, you know, obviously all the sports stuff like that. It was a very affluent space. Not that I'm saying that I was affluent by any stretch of the term, but
you owned a business.
I did
own
a business.
Young business owner.
Yeah. But that also shows I had to work while I was in school.
Huh? You're an entrepreneur. You had an entrepreneurial spirit.
And wait,
were
you, because you famously have two sisters that you host your radio show with, the Smith sisters on Radio Andy. Were they in, how many grades above you are they? Like, are they at school with
Lauren
you?
Was in college, out of college by the time I went to high school.
Oh my God. Drag her.
Yeah. You can talk to her about that one.
Older than time.
Yeah.
She's almost as old as Pat's friend.
Now I'm screaming out loud, bloody murder.
Oh my God. Drag everyone safe.
No, but Rachel was a senior when I was a freshman, and famously we did theater together and we ran into the woods together.
Oh, who are you?
She was, well, here, this is where it gets a little dicey. Rachel was Jack's mom. I was not even cast in the ensemble. I was cast as a tree, and we did Suzuki.
No.
And there was a small group of us who did Suzuki as trees in the background of the of the production.
What is Suzuki?
Wow.
And you know, so some of us who I actually grew up in the more deeply in the artistic space.
We might not be in the WGA, but
yeah, but you know, I'm
we have something.
We have something. So we are actually artists, physical artists, movement, and using our bodies in terms of acting, in terms of really connecting with the character, in my case, a tree. It's really, it's sort of a Japanese style of movement that really grounds the actor. Almost like staccato steps and paces, and very, you know, you think about lines, it's walking straight lines, sharp curve or sharp corners, stuff like that. So we were in scrubs that were sort of rolled around in dirt to look like trees.
And is that part of the production normally, that that style of dance? Okay, that was added by the director.
No. I'm like, do you want to tell him or should I?
It was completely optional. But at that cast party, I did have my first drink, and I had my
sitting
first
down or standing up. Sitting. Oh. Okay, wow, this is huge.
I was sitting down in a car.
Okay. Wow. Wait. So okay.
What
so
was your first drink?
You're a freshman. You're a freshman.
I was a freshman. It was the Smirnoff Green Apple.
Delicious.
Oh, such. Okay. So
and who? Whom did you kiss? Upon whom did you plan to kiss?
A castmate.
Yes, and someone I dated for literally all of high school.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Bad choices abound, but Rachel was sobbing on the steps as this all happened.
Why?
Because she saw her sister drunk making out with someone.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
In a basement.
Were you like, Rachel, let me... We like, Rachel, let me live my life. It's giving Scream 6.
A little bit. Yeah.
I've
never seen that film.
Wait, so then you dated that person for the entirety of high school? That's shocking.
For the most part, he was a year older than me. I did tell him at multiple junctures I wanted to treat this like a relationship of two celebrities who people think are dating, but they don't know if it's a PR relationship, and that their teams have both requested they don't put this on the front page. If you open it up, they might have a spread about the couple. So being like, don't ever talk about me in front of your friends.
Wow.
Why was that?
Waiting for something better?
He was awful.
Yeah. And some would say in certain circles, possibly ugly.
Oh, interesting. Did you go into
certain circles?
Did you go into this cast party having any sort of crush on him, or was it like?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did he also play a tree, or was he more of a person in the show?
He was more of a person in the show. I believe he played the baker. If that's a great character. Part. Yeah.
I want to say, like, if you hadn't been a tree, I don't think you would have a successful radio show today. I don't think you'd be where you are if you hadn't been a tree, because that gives us character.
I don't know anyone.
Your cast is a tree.
I don't know anyone with a successful radio show who played the baker. I don't.
And that's on them. That's on them. I will say I am trying to grow out of my high school experience, but as we know, it was pretty recent. So I'm going to continue to talk about it.
Totally.
It was, of course, barely pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Barely. Okay. And I truly think the thing that built me, the house that built me, was High School Musical Theater. When I was supposed to be cast as Rizzo, unfortunately that role was not given to me. So I was then thrust back into the ensemble, and I made my own set of pink ladies and greasers, and I was the Rizzo of that. I was supposed to be cast as Hook and Captain Hook, and they did unfortunately put me as Starkey. So I made sure that my boobs were sitting so the audience could tell that I was working with it. But I finally got my star turn when they cast me as Joanne in Company.
What a great role.
I actually bodied that role. So
you would destroy.
I don't know any of these roles.
Were you able to see the revival?
I wasn't, but I heard it was bad.
Well, I thought the one in London was great, but the one in New York didn't work for me.
There we go. Traveled and cultured.
She might be sitting on the floor, but she's been to London once.
But she's been to
she sat on a plane before.
She's been to not one but two cities.
I'm sitting because I'm blacked out drunk right now, and I can't afford to stand up. My career can't take it. So then this is all very relatable, because I too felt I was the star, never correctly cast in the role. Yeah. But then once you left high school, were you like, I still got it, those people were wrong? Or were you like, who am I now?
I still got it. And I decided to not do the musical theater, you know, BFA program route.
And thank God.
Thank God. And I didn't want to be surrounded by those personalities for any more time than I had to be. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do it on my terms. So I went to, because I barely made it out of high school, a liberal arts college in Maryland for a year. And then I transferred to Sarah Lawrence. Where
Right. You went to Sarah Lawrence.
Oh my God. So yeah. You were in the cult.
And she was, you were
You lived with that girl's dad.
I was a senior when that all happened. I'm dating myself.
Isn't that crazy? I forgot
and
that.
And I was an RA. So I was a little bit more in the know of what was going on. Yeah.
And no like, way. We don't have to talk
guys,
about
if anyone's want. Dads are here recruiting for your cult, you're getting written up. You're getting written up. Seriously.
No more dads. You're like, guys, come on. I'm like, I don't want to be here either. Like, no more dads.
Yes, no more dads. I can't live with you.
I would love to have Mariah as an RA where it's like, you guys can drink as much as you want. Please make sure you're sitting down at least every other drink. At least every other drink I want you sitting down for.
There are people who I residentially advised who were most likely like, why is this woman an RA? There were times where I accidentally came home blackout and went into their rooms by accident, not knowing where I was. Like, but by the time I was like, just trying to figure it all out. But yeah, it was, those were people in my year. There's so, I guess.
I'm just like, shook.
Did you know them? Yeah. Did you know the girl named Raven who was like, I hate everything?
Yeah, I wasn't like, they were, some of them had, some of our friend groups overlapped, but I also that year was interning at SNL for like, that was before the lawsuit. So we were working almost 60 hours a week as interns.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so
bring it back.
I wasn't on campus as much, and I was like hearing hearsay and like things, like weird things that would happen. But where they lived in Sloan and Woods was, I was just down the pathway, where my house was that I RA'd for.
Wow! Yeah. But when you were at SNL, you were much closer to the apartment that he had in the city, so you would just stay there.
Yeah,
after work.
I would just stay there after work. Yeah.
Wait, what was the liberal arts school in Maryland?
McDaniel.
Okay. Oh, I know someone who transferred there. She was a pretty fast runner. She was this girl. This is a nothing. There's a girl who came in, and when I was a sophomore, she was a freshman, and she was like, basically a number one, number two girl. And then she like didn't like get and left and went to McDaniel. Sometimes you would see her at meets and like, oh my God, like she's here. McDaniel's here. Like she's here. Like I wonder if she'll beat our girls.
Pat, where'd you go to undergrad?
I went to undergrad. I'm like embarrassed of it. A school called Loyola in Baltimore.
Oh, I love that.
You shouldn't be embarrassed.
It's so embarrassing.
Why are you embarrassed?
Because it's like so boring. It's so straight. It's so like girls in leggings and UGG boots, boys in pop collars.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with a woman in leggings and UGG boots. That's a beautiful thing. It should be cherished.
Yeah, that's someone who's living her best life, okay?
You know, I didn't mean to make light of the Sarah Lawrence thing. Was it intense when it came out? Or were you like, I'm so far from this, I don't care.
No, I actually got a little bit pissed off because, and I love speaking about this publicly, the original author of the cut piece.
Okay.
When he essentially exploited everyone but the abuser, Larry, whatever his name is. And his journalistic capabilities were awful. And I was hearing how he was reaching out to people through the grapevine and like how he would group text people and how he had all he wanted was clout. And that's the only reason for him picking the story, putting the story out there and involving himself in it. So everything that comes after that, I haven't seen the documentary yet, but from what I hear people say, it's a better telling of what happened.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. Good to
know.
Did
you have a boyfriend call?
And back to business. Did you have a boyfriend? And it's what Sarah Lawrence said, were you fucking then? Sorry, we got away from the...
Yeah. No, I was pretty traumatized by my high school boyfriend. He was a jerk. And I was actually, a thing I'm still working on in therapy, I preferred business. And I obviously I'm a entrepreneur. I love work. I interned all throughout college. So I was like out in the city. Of course, I had my obsessions. And I was the type of person who would find a mark and actually sort of stalk them a little bit. And that's how I found my joy.
Got the rocks off.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a TV writer?
No, absolutely.
What did you want? Did you want to be on cam? You want to be on cam? Do you still want to be on cam? Do you still want to be on cam?
You know, sometimes I get tired. So
yeah.
It depends. I want to be on cam in my own story.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be.
I'll always remember being in a car with another multi-hyphenate that I will not be naming here today. So we're talking and they start to get like some gravitas to what they're saying.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Starts to get some gravitas to what they're saying. And they're like, it seems like the vibe is like someone's about to come out as gay. And it was like, this is recently, so it's like, but they're like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I've been like thinking about things and I just think I've like reached a certain place. And like, there's, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say this to many people, but I just feel this. And like, I don't know that I want to write anymore. I might just want to act. And I was like, that's okay.
That's okay.
But it was like almost, it was an almost tearful confession. And I was like,
well, it is okay. Embarrassing. It is. I stand in solidarity with that person. That is an embarrassing thing to have been. I can relate to it.
Well, it is tiring to write. It is so tiring. I've been so tired.
It's just different kinds of tiring.
And you write network, Mariah. Is that scheduled?
Yeah. Tell us everything. So how did you end up writing TV if you don't want to?
Oh, God.
Hey, for those out there who don't want to write TV, listen up, because you might accidentally fall into it.
A cautionary tale how you end up writing for network television.
I mean, honestly, like, fresh out of college, fresh out of the cult, I was working as a production assistant, and I was assigned shows to watch on Best Week Ever, the reboot, obviously. I'm not that old, but...
That's where Lauren is doing original.
Lauren actually founded Best Week Ever.
She pitched it in the room.
I was assigned, and this is actually a little bit hard to talk about, I was assigned to watch the Steve Harvey Show every day and also Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So, Steve Harvey Show almost broke me.
Every day. Your brain needs to be studied in a lab after that.
Yeah. The fact that I'm sitting here talking to you and I still have, it's really, you know, like religion. It's like, you have to be firm in your beliefs so no one can sway you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what the Steve Harvey Show was. Had I no way in life, I would be on my think like a man, act like a woman, Steve. Yes. Y'all wouldn't know who I was.
Yes. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for Steve Harvey.
You'll fall for Steve Harvey, baby. And you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. You got to stand for something.
And so I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians a lot too. And I didn't have cable, so I was torrenting it. And they, of course, wouldn't pay for me to watch the show any other way.
Cool.
And
this is in New York.
This is in New York.
Okay.
I then was like, there are a lot of editing inconsistencies. So I put up a Tumblr just showing editing inconsistencies and Keeping Up with the Kardashians to send to my friends. So that was the only way I knew how to like get all of my stuff together.
And,
I thought they would only look at it. 10,000 people looked at it. So I had to do it again the next week. And then I ended up getting paid to do it by different websites.
That's amazing.
That's a dream.
That is a dream. And then I was in production in late night, and then I was freelance writing on websites, magazines, stuff like that. And I was also doing comedy. So I was like, well, what can I do that will just make my life a little bit easier and do it all together? So then, of course, I got a manager, said, I'm not moving to LA until I get staff in a room. Got staff.
That was me. Yeah. That was me. But then I got staff in a room and it was Zoom. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm not moving. And then I was like,
you're not moving. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I came up with this room.
Yeah.
So what was the first show you wrote on?
It was actually a Fox sitcom called Outmatched. It was one season.
Love it.
It started.
Wow, he gets around. That girl gets around.
She'll pop up. And then you're everywhere. Yeah.
Jason Biggs is often spot. I often spot him and his family in the West Village.
I spotted him once, and I can't say where.
I have to tell you guys this. Last week, this is insane. I've already said this on the podcast. In 1 week on my street, Parker Posey, Glenn Close, separately.
What?
Wow. I've seen Glenn Close. I've seen Glenn Close in your area, which, as we know, this is like relevant because Mariah, I don't know if you know this, but I'm watching Damages right now. I just got through the first season of Damages.
Congratulations.
I've never seen it either. There needs to be a German word for when you're watching a show that's very serialized and very like cliffhangery or something, but you are watching it as I am 15 years later.
Yeah.
And the first season ends and then you get to like move forward immediately to the next season. Yeah. And you know, everyone else had to wait and you're getting
it feels so good.
It feels like being like getting like It feels like when you go to like Six Flags Great Adventure and you have like the $1 million thing that lets you cut lines.
I need that.
Like that's what it feels like.
It's amazing. And I also have that feeling actually often. So I'm happy you're experiencing that. But I love a procedural. Mm. And I started watching NCIS a few years ago, and it's basically a staple in my life. I started watching House, Grey's Anatomy years after they came out.
Oh.
So it feels so good just to have a concentrated
an embarrassment of riches. Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
Damages is like, it's like Glenn Close plays a full psycho and like Rose Byrne gets her start. I like feel like, whoa, I made enemies because I was like,
I didn't know that's where she got her start.
Neither did I. And what I'll say is like, especially in season one, of course she's a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. Like she's made millions for that with amazing comedic timing as well. When you're a gorgeous girl with comedic timing, of course you're going
to
make
millions.
You
don't have to tell us. You don't have to tell us.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. I don't want to speak out of turn, but is that the sort of discourse that Rose Byrne has amazing comedic timing?
I think that a lot of people felt like she nailed Bridesmaids.
I think Bridesmaids kind of put her in a special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think that made people be like, wow, she's so pretty. And I do think the bar is kind of low for like a very hot person to like, when they can like process what the joke is and like deliver it or something. Everyone's like, wow, she's a comedic genius. It's insane. But, I want to express that, you know, it, like whenever someone's like really like pretty famous now and you look at their first thing, of course they're not like as glammed up. Of course they're more dressed down. Of course, like they haven't figured themselves out sartorially yet. So I went into work and I just said like, yeah, it's so interesting. Rose Byrne, you know, now she's like, she's not as hot as she came to be. And then people like were Google imaging and like, no, she's gorgeous in Damages. And I was like, okay, but season one, it was as though I was like commenting on a woman's beauty standards, which I wasn't doing. Do you know what I mean? And I felt glorified.
I understand where you're coming from, but I do want to acknowledge that you're sort of placing on us to make you feel good about talking about a woman's appearance.
I just don't know
if I'm ready for that. And I did sit here and do a Google myself. And if I'm looking at the correct images, she looks quite stunning.
So yeah. She is stunning.
Yeah, it's just so funny, Mariah, because he's been in LA for only a couple of weeks now, but his sense of self, it's just eroded. Yeah.
She looks gorgeous in Damage. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's interesting to see someone's style evolution. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I can't wait to look. Yeah, I want to look so hideoso in this Freeform show so that I can look absolutely snap.
Wait, what Freeform show?
Thank you for asking. It hasn't come out yet. So you might not have seen it yet because it hasn't come out.
So my show's on Freeform.
I know. How do you like that?
Well, what show are you on?
It's a show called While You Were Breeding.
Ooh.
It's based on an amazing woman's memoir called What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding. It's kind of like an Eat, Pray, Love type thing.
I will be watching.
I'm very excited.
Breeding is something that has really specific connotations in gay culture. And I wonder if that'll bring the gays on, the gays who love to breed.
I hope the gays will be on board. Why not?
Yeah, why not? They might expect to see two men having raw dog sex and coming at each other when they do tune in.
It might happen. There's some gay in the show. There's not gay.
Yeah, of course. Well, there has to be gay in the show now, especially a Freeform show.
Okay, so then you're like, okay, you did the Kardashian blog. You're like, I'm writing for TV. Yes. It is. And when you moved to LA, were you like, this is where I'm meant to be? Or were you like, I'll do this for the job?
I loved it because I could have a car. That was like number one on the list.
It is nice.
If I moved here, Mariah, where should I live here in Los Angeles?
You're giving me more East Side.
I know, but I don't want to give East Side.
The girlies over there.
I don't want to be around the girlies over there.
But Pat, you want to
be in Los Feliz. Yeah.
Pat, I don't want to be in Los Feliz. In New York, Pat pretended he wanted to be way uptown, away from everyone. And the second he did, he was like, what have I done? He was never going to see anyone again.
But this is, no, the East Side is
We can bleep it. Mariah, are you East or West?
I'm in the Valley, which I love.
She lives outside. Mariah lives outside the binary of East and West. Yeah. And she exists outside that binary.
I probably live in North Hollywood, and that's my favorite. I can also see you in Studio City.
Oh, I know one person who lives there. So that'll be amazing. Jared? No, I actually don't know Jared. I almost have to. I don't know. I do know Jared, but he wasn't.
I'm like, Jared, who we had on our podcast last week?
No, not that. Actually, no, not that Jared. A different Jared. Oh, we should cool. have that
and
Jared.
And by the way, I'm going to go because I'm so embarrassed. I said that. I'm going to go.
No, I wasn't thinking of Jared, but yeah, no, I guess I know two people. I almost went to a pool party at Jared's on Saturday.
A pool party?
Oh, I was going to go to that pool party too, but I couldn't make it.
Oh my God, you're freaking me out. I feel like I'm in a cartoon about California.
I have to send I have to send you something. It's crazy. Okay. It's crazy.
Okay, but you know I'm coming to visit, so can we all go to the pool party?
Yeah.
Yes. He's going to have them all summer.
What's your dog's name?
Sprinkles.
That is very, very cute. Mm-hmm. See, that is appealing. A dog and a car.
Yeah,
I hear
see a
you.
Dog, a car. I'm in my office. Like, give me a break.
That's
wait, Mariah, do you get so tired recording your show and then going to work? That would put me out.
What time is your show on?
I would be dead.
6 a.m.
Oh my God, Mariah.
I would be dead.
The way we wouldn't last. But did your sisters always live in LA before you?
No, my sister Lauren and I, we both moved out here around the same time. And then my sister Rachel, she's moving here, but we all lived in New York together.
Okay,
for like forever. And you know.
You know, I connect with that because as fans of the pod know, both my brothers live in my building.
Oh, stop it.
It's pretty cute. Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
But one of the middle one is sick of us, I can tell. He's kind of like, I'm gonna move. I'm like, you're not allowed.
Why? Why would you move? That's great. He's got to be there.
I agree. It's so nice. Anyways, so are you looking for love? Are you dating anyone?
I am on the app, so I'm not dating anyone actively at the moment. I am trying to I don't want to brag, but I'm on Raya, and that
for sure.
Yeah, I was.
Ever. Yeah, you are until you met your friend. and I feel like it's always, and people now even joke about it in their bios, it's like, let's match and never message. And it's like,
I know.
What are we really doing here?
Yeah, can we not try to be comedy networks on Raya? Can we just come here looking for love for 1 second?
And then I'm also like, why are you on Raya showing me someone in Australia?
Yeah. Oh my God. Raya loves to do that. Raya couldn't stop sending me.
Can you not set a location on Raya? Because it assumes you're a mobile creative.
Yeah. It assumes I'm on a boat. Like, where do you
set location on boat?
Raya became absolutely obsessed with showing me people in Mexico City. And I was like, yeah, it's probably
in a Mexico City era. Yeah.
It's like, wow. It's like, it's probably not going to work out between me and this random person in Mexico City.
Well,
Raya.
I will say that every gay person in New York I know is always going to Mexico City for like six weeks at a time.
It is a new gay hotspot. It is a new gay hotspot. I will say, but that's not helping Mariah. What's she going to go to these gay men and search for love with them?
Help me. It's interesting. So what I actually have ended up doing and what's happened a lot is I'll match with people on Raya and then Hinge and then we talk on Hinge.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
For some reason, that does feel safer. It's like, oh, we know each other.
Yeah. it's very odd. It's very odd.
I only went on one date from Raya and it was with a doorknob salesman. He sold doorknobs. I was like, I mean this with like so much love, but how does a doorman salesman get on to Raya the app? and he would he spoke. Oh my God, we went on one date at this restaurant on the Upper West Side, and there was an older, very Upper West Side couple next to us, and the woman lost her ring over the course of the meal. And so it became paramount that like everyone at all the tables around her kind of join forces and search on their hands and knees for this ring. Another thing about the doorknob salesman is that he talks just quiet enough that your brain can kind of register what he's saying, but it hurts your brain to try to process it in here. And so that was like really challenging. And then we were gonna go on maybe a second date, and then it wasn't right. It didn't work out. It wasn't the right pathway forward. Yeah.
I also one of the things about Raya that really put me off for a while is I've been on it for actually at this point years. And I was an early adopter. But the first and only person I was matching with for months at a time was an actor by the name of Will Sasso.
I don't know him.
Sounds so familiar. I'm Googling.
You'll know his face when you Google him. And I kept swiping on him because I was like, oh, this is the only famous person I've been seeing, so of course I'm gonna swipe. And then it just really, we're just not a fit if you look him up, and we're just not a fit.
Oh, this guy. Yeah.
You know who Raya kept showing me a couple times, and I almost got kicked off because there's like a no screenshotting rule, but every time he came up, I like had to screenshot it, and my brain would forget that you're not allowed to. And then Raya would be like, hey, we notice you keep doing this. You gotta stop or you're gonna have to get off our app. But then they never did it. But the person they kept showing me, Mariah, I think you all know him. And oh, Catherine, I think you all know him too, because you watched a few seasons of the show, is Shep from Southern Charm. Oh. Why is Raya giving Shep to me?
Wait.
First of all, we know
First that of Shep- all, are you outing Shep?
I don't think so. I think it must have been a glitch in the Matrix or something. Or like Shep didn't understand.
I'm like, interesting.
But Raya twice said, are you interested in Shep? It wasn't like, oh, Shep had swiped on me and like it was
I could see him definitely being G.
I could see him being one time I'll always remember watching a Vanderpump reunion like years ago. And it was when Jax had that guy that was like older than him and like had paid for his whole life from Florida, and everyone was like, and he was
the
gay
man
and
he
everyone
shared
was
a bed
like,
with, yeah.
Yes, the man he shared a bed with, but famously wasn't gay with, according to Jax. And Andy was asking him about it, and Jax was like, no. And Andy was like, you've never done anything. And Jax was kind of like, I'm not gay. And I always remember Andy saying the sentence, I don't know, you seem kind of like a hole's a hole type of guy to me. And I just, and Shep to me also seems like a hole's a hole type of guy.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Let me tell you, I went to St. Lawrence, and there were many a hole's a hole type of guys.
Wow. Totally. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I went to that Caroline Polachek concert on Sunday.
Oh, how was that?
I was invited to that too.
It was fun. I went with my friend. Mm-hmm. I hadn't
my
like
my friend been... invited me.
Oh my! Oh, I guess I was kind of a second option because you only
no,
had
but your
one other ticket.
Did say no? Your friend did say you should buy a ticket to me, which is
okay.
So he
yeah. Okay.
You know, your friend hasn't been really reaching out to me at all.
What? Reaching out to say what?
Hello, it's me. Hi, I'm the friend, it's me. I got 12th row seats. Okay, we're back. Now, how was the concert? What do you think?
We never dropped out. I did like her. It was interesting. It was very interesting because I was not super familiar with her beforehand. And I do think she has, I think she has such a talent, has such a presence, but what happens to me is I get too annoyed at the other concert goers to really.
Me too.
So like they were screaming. I mean, they were like real. Like she did this thing at one moment where I will say she does seem to take herself and her work very, very seriously, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
take
being,
the work seriously, not yourself. Give me a break. Get out of here.
Kind of like, you know, before going, I was like kind of doing due diligence and I was like, I want to familiarize myself with
her. Well, she's very like
more.
Elfin, like fairy godmother.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
but I guess
hungry.
I assumed
she's very hungry.
I assume there would be one drop of irony in that. Like, you know, I watched So Hot Hurting My Feelings video and it was this quirky choreo. And I thought that there was some irony in it. And I was like, oh, she has such a sense of humor. And the humor was not on display necessarily in the show, but I think she's so talented.
She didn't do a tie five?
She is, well, just like, you know, in the patter or something. You just tell, like, I think there should always, whenever you're doing something on stage,
I kind of appreciate that. I actually hate when a singer is like doing jokes.
But the people all around me were singing their song, were singing the song so loud, and it wasn't like an arena where the sound design's impeccable. So it was kind of like, well, now I can't hear this woman singing her songs. And as someone who isn't familiar with it, it's just, I have to appreciate it from the element of like, this is just a woman who's very good at singing very good songs, and I could like hear them. But it's like they were singing them so loud, and I was like, well, now this is kids bop, and now you all have made this kids bop, and now I'm listening to Caroline Polachek kids bop version, and that isn't fun. And I'm standing and I don't like to stand for a long time because I get too absolutely plastered
and too drunk.
So I kind of struggled with that. It was a really interesting crowd. I saw like a handful of people I knew. I felt like people weren't like jumping out to like act like they knew me when they did, but even still, it was fun.
Well, that's
anyways.
Huh.
I know they would say hi. I was like, hi. And then I was kind of like, well, like, hi. And I was kind of like, no, hi still.
See, me with a concert, it's like the worst part is like I don't mind being there, but the getting there and the leaving there is so scary.
So
like,
horrible.
Leaving, it is so awful. Did you leave? How did you get out? When any of my friends go to a concert, I say, well, how'd you get out?
I know. Yeah. It wasn't. Did you? I'm sure you've all seen that like video online going around of like the people after the Taylor Swift concert.
Never seen anything
subway.
Better.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, we have
oh
to
my
send
God.
It to
you have to find it. It's like people on a subway, they roll into a stop and the Taylor Swift concert has just got out. And there is trillions of like Taylor Swift concert goers waiting. It's like a horror movie. It literally feels like you literally want to be like, oh my God, don't open the doors. Don't open the doors. Like, oh my God, like don't open the doors. But when I left the Taylor concert, it was fine in terms of like, it was walkable back to the hotel, but like, but I was revealed to have like a 190 fever on the walk back.
Right. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like leaving concerts in New York is worse than leaving in LA. Even Vegas. Like Vegas is pretty easy. It's just like getting out of it doesn't feel as like stressful, but New York, I'm going to a concert in New York in June and I'm already stressed.
Oh, what are you going to?
I'm going to Ed Sheeran and I don't want to hear anything about it.
I didn't say anything about it. So that will be hard for you to hear.
He's friends with our friend Taylor Swift. So
they're
of course,
her end game. He's her end game. Yeah, okay, I'm putting this in the chat so you can appreciate this at your leisure. But to come full circle on the question, Mariah, who do you want to be? What's your dream?
My dream? Oh my God. And this might be wild, but I want to be perfect. I want everything truly in the ways I desire them.
Yeah.
And I know that with the way I like to behave, and that is watching YouTubes all day on the couch, it's probably not going to happen for quite some time, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I want to be someone who enjoys doing the hard work.
That's hard. That's hard to want. Yeah. That's hard to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I want to be someone who can actually make my therapy appointments because I keep remembering that I forget.
I have to get back in therapy. I'm so overwhelmed right now. It's insane how overwhelmed I'm feeling.
Does it help? Okay, I shouldn't say this, but I'm like, sometimes I guess it helps.
I know. Well, I think if you're the right person. My ex therapist didn't help Ben, but I'm sure there must be someone who can help.
Like, yeah. I love my therapist. She's the GOAT and, like, has apps, like, 10 toes down for your girl. But it's just a lot. And we're on different coasts, and typically it's at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Oh, my God. That is so hard.
That's tough. So
it's hard, but, like, there is no time that a therapy could be easy at, unfortunately. Like, every time. You could have said any time just now. I've been like, oh, my God, that is unbearable. That's unbearable.
People go to therapy after work. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. To quote Christina Yang when she was disclosing her relationship with Preston Burke to the board of directors of the hospital, it isn't hard. It's unbearable.
Oh.
Famous monologue.
What's unbearable?
What had happened was she was dating this attending, Preston Burke, who was like a legendary cardio surgeon.
Yes, I remember him.
And he had like hand tremors and she was doing a lot of his surgeries and keeping this secret and jeopardizing her whole medical career. And then
doing his surgeries because she was in love.
Yeah. And like, because
she wanted to still study and like have him as her love and her references.
Yes. Yeah. It was really overlapping between the professional and the romantic. Mm-hmm. And then they performed, I believe, this like really, really crazy surgery but she basically performed it and he kind of like told her how, like in the room.
Yeah.
And then he got the Harper Avery Award, which is like a huge award that's fake in the medical community. And he was like, this article was published about him. And like, then it kind of came out, and then like he had to leave the hospital because in real life he said the F slur, but on the show he just got so famous that he had to go and like do the
oh my God, I did not follow that.
And he had to go crazy. And like, and so then Christina had to come into the chief's wife for some reason and like some other directors, and she had to sign a thing saying she dated Preston Burke, and they were like, thank you, Miss Yang. Thank you, Dr. Yang. We know that was hard. And then she turns around and gives this like monologue where she's like, I forget like the exact monologue, but these are lines I remember. She was like, I was the unseen hand of his brilliance and now I'm a ghost. And nowhere in that article does my name appear. I did his surgeries. And she's like, I walk around in the same, because now she has this new mentor named Han who doesn't let her operate that much.
Yes.
And she was like, I walk around. I'm lucky if I get to hold a clamp. I wear the same scrubs. I wear the same, I'm in the same ORs. Everything's very much the same. And so, and I forget what she starts a sentence and doesn't finish it. And then at the end, she turns around and she goes, so no, that isn't hard. It's unbearable. And then she leaves.
I'm lucky if I get to hold a clamp.
Yeah. And at one point she starts to cry.
After the pandemic, I say, I'm lucky if I get to hold a clamp.
At one point in the monologue, she starts to cry, but she turns around and doesn't let them see her cry. And you could tell that wasn't in the script. You could tell that was Sandra being like, Yang wouldn't let these people see her cry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was Sandra was Sandra-ing.
Even though she's in a lot, she's so underutilized. She should be in most things. She should be in most movies, probably. She should. Yeah. Mariah, what about, and what's your final form in terms of like, do you want a partner, kids? Do you want that type of thing?
Yeah, I do, but I feel like I don't want it necessarily right now.
Because of course. Hell, it's not right now. Yeah.
I really don't like coordinating with anyone else. So yeah.
You have Ed in June.
Exactly. Like, even scheduling dates, it's just like, why are we doing this?
I know.
Like, why are we just catering to what my actual schedule is? Because chances are I have the crazier one. So at that point, and I do want kids one day, but more than kids, I want to be pregnant. So that's just really what I'm working towards.
Oh, why do you want to be pregnant?
I've loved it. I watch birthing videos. I want to do that whole process. I love an at-home birth moment. I'm just constantly seeking that out.
It would be so scary to me. It would be really scary to me, but I probably never have to worry about it unless science advances. Know, yeah. Unless science advances, which it doesn't. And
AI is trying to take my writing job, so maybe it'll take over something else.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But again, we've learned from the CVS chatbot that it can never write a show because it cannot pick up on social cues. And and you have like one of your, Rachel has kids, right?
Yeah, Rachel has a kid, my nephew who's 1.5.
You get something from that.
Are you obsessed or do you not care?
Okay. Oh, absolutely obsessed. That boy is my son. I'm a long distant parent. I love to just anything. Like truly that I would do anything.
That's so sweet.
Game over.
Should we wrap up?
Yeah. Now do you guys, I was wondering if you guys had crushes of the week.
Oh my God. By the way, I have one.
This is crazy. This is like checks watch. What year is it? I finally watched the movie Tar because I was sick.
I never watched it. I haven't watched it. So
you know what? It's so hard to get me to watch a movie, but I was watching it and I was like, this is so good. It had everything I wanted. It had prestige. It had drama. It had Kashmir. It had lots of sexual tension. It had disgraced. Someone fallen from grace. It had a little bit of like a thriller element, blood. It had everything.
Oh my God. My crush of the week would have to be, oh my God, I guess I'll say that my crush of the week is, oh my God, I'm having trouble. At the Hollywood Reservoir, which I walked around yesterday. It's so nice, or lake or whatever it's called. It's so pretty there. I would like to live
where
near
is that?
That.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
It's in like kind of the hills, I think.
Yeah,
but it's like nice loop.
I haven't been in forever. You know, my crush of the week, I would probably say it's gonna have to be the Vanderpump Rules finale trailer.
I know. Wait, what are you thinking about it? Yeah,
that made me happier than I could have ever anticipated, and I anticipating it heavily. So I seen Kristen Doty's Nike slides walk down Village pavement and her leggings. I couldn't handle it.
What are they?
Okay,
I'm scared.
I'm scared to ask this because I've never seen the show. But like, if you could in one sentence explain like what's going on, what would you say?
One of the most pretentiously committed people on the show cheated on his long-term girlfriend, who's one of the stars of the show.
Thank you.
With
okay.
a new young person on the show who was brought in by one of the more villainous but funny members.
Yeah.
Of the cast.
I have Thank to say, you. I'm really
beautifully
liking
done.
I'm really liking James this season, which I know
I is love like, him. He's great.
Yeah, I've always liked him, I think, more than most, I think.
Yeah. He's just a good time. He's witty. He's funny. I love everything about him. Yes. And even when he's downright evil, I respect it.
What do you think they're bringing Kristen in for? Like, she's meeting up with someone. She says, are you ready? Are they going into Ariana's
house?
She's
talking with Ariana. Because they're now, like, really good friends.
Oh.
And Kristen was there the night Ariana found Sandoval's phone with the stuff with Raquel.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's going to be really good. Even tonight's episode looks like it'll be. Have you watched tonight's yet? Do you get, like, pre-screeners or something?
I'm going to watch it today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it looks really... It looks like it's getting... Do you think that scene was added after they knew everything? Because it feels like...
No.
Really? Because to me, it's... No. To me, this is how it feels. And I know it's probably wrong, but it's like... And I think either way is fine, but like... It seems like they were really tracking Raquel and Schwartz, and it didn't feel like they were planting mm-hmm. any seeds for Raquel no. Sandoval. And so it felt like to me, like once they realized everything that happened for these later episodes, they like, mm-hmm. wait, we did have that scene in the kitchen where Ken Todd like randomly.
Yeah.
But you think it always was just part of the show?
I think it was always part of the show because Sandoval even says that like he was calculated about trying to insert some stuff himself about the breakdown of he and Ariana's relationship.
Oh, so interesting.
So I think he was sort of privately producing. And these people they've never thought of it as like, oh, Raquel and Sandoval. It just never crossed their mind. Like it totally. Never would seem like anything viable or real.
Yeah, totally, totally. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I wish that I could have it all now. It's so lucky.
I need it.
It's yeah. All right. And do you?
Oh, do you guys feel hot today?
I don't feel hot because my back hurts. Yeah. I don't feel.
My legs hurt.
Oh, why do your legs hurt?
Pick a day.
My legs hurt too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know my back always hurts too, so that's just always the staple.
I feel like it's sad because I'm kind of like energized now, but my show isn't for like 7 hours, so I know I'm gonna. Oh,
you gotta figure out how to bottle that up.
Yeah. I know. Definitely it's don't
stand up the rest of the day. Don't.
Stand I know. Up. I'm gonna stay on the floor all day. Pat, do you feel hot?
No, I don't because my back hurts.
Oh, right.
I slept till like 8 this morning, which I have been waking up really early, and then I didn't set an alarm today, and I slept till 8, which felt like...
That's early.
I know, yeah. But it felt like, you know...
Like you've given up.
I just usually wake up, honestly, at like 6:30, and I thought I would probably like naturally wake up at like 7:30. And so I'm trying to do Artist's Way. But I haven't... But I've never done it in full, but I am... want to do it, and so I have to start doing Morning Pages again, so I had time to do that, but I didn't have time to do like anything else that I might have wanted to get done before this, but now we'll see. I think I'm going to Netflix at 11. and that's it.
I love it. Oh, I don't care. Well, are you guys mad at me?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good.
Okay. We end every episode.
Just to make sure
checking in and making sure no one's upset. I'm mad at anyone else. Are you guys mad at me?
No, not at all.
For any reason?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I'm so happy you brought Mariah into my life and onto the pod.
Of course. Happy. Yes.
And I hope to see you both in LA when I come.
Yes.
Yes, we should have a dinner.
It'll be fun.
I love that. With your friend.
Yeah, with my friend. Maybe you could come.
I would love if you reach out.
What do you want?
Nothing but love and light. And and Mariah, where can people listen to your show? Where can they reach you?
Oh yes.
What would you like to plug?
Listen to my show Smith Sisters Live weekly on Radio Andy at 9 p.m.
daily,
Eastern,
right? Daily.
Pacific, daily. Yes, channel 102, Sirius XM. You can follow me on Instagram at Mariah, or you can follow me on Twitter at MRIAH.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Bye. Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment.